It is hard to believe that it is the last Sunday of 2014, is it not? And this year has gone by fast, at least in my world. I don't know about everybody else's, but it seems to have just flown by. But it is good to have lived another year for the Lord and look forward to living another one for Him in 2015, and as long as He allows this world to stand or us to live. I want to remind everybody of next week, next Sunday night, we're going to have our family Bible challenge come down. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to be embarrassed or put on the spot. We're just going to have a lot of fun with the Book of Mark and doing Bible Bowl style thing. We're going to kind of draw up and mix up people and teams and just have an enjoyable time as the family of God while we look at and consider questions from the Book of Mark. So please plan to stay. And there is a sign-up sheet in the back. If you would, please sign up if you'd like to participate so we can kind of have an idea of what to plan for in regard to the teams. You know, every day of our lives, there should be time where we look at our lives, where we consider where we stand, where we assess our spiritual condition. Yet such an effort on a daily basis, and such an effort even on not on a daily basis, requires a great deal of honesty on our part. To be willing to look at our lives and to see it for what it is, not for what I would like for it to be or what I wished it was, but for what it is, for what I have chosen it to be. You know, it requires a willingness to see my failings. It requires a willingness to see my faults and my weaknesses. And these are parts of our lives that we would prefer not to acknowledge many times, yet we cannot grow unless we acknowledge these things, unless we see those things in which we need to grow in. At the same time, it is beneficial in these times as well to see our strengths. You know, while every one of us have weaknesses, I guarantee you every one of us have strengths as well. Every one of us has something that we can do, and I would say many more than just one something, but things that we can do to serve God, things that we can do to help others. We need to recognize those as well and say, how can I better use those? How can I better implement that in my life to serve God and to serve men? While we do this every day to some degree, hopefully, important times of transition in life give us an opportunity for this type of examination that is more detailed and more thorough than maybe we have time to do on a daily basis. You know, when it comes to the new year, New Year's just tend to be natural dividers in our lives. We think about our lives in terms of years. You know, where were you this year or that year? That's kind of how we think about life. It's divided up like that. And it is a perfect opportunity for such an examination. In fact, this is such a natural thing at this time of year that we have developed what we call New Year's resolutions, right? What is a New Year's resolution? Well, it is nothing more than looking at my life and seeing what I need and saying, hey, next year I'm going to do that, right? I'm going to eat less. I'm going to work out, at least in the month of January. I'm going, you know, we see those things that we need to do and we assess that. It's called introspection. And we need to do that. And this is the perfect time for us to engage in that. Now, when we look in the Scriptures in the book of Haggai, we see that the Jews in the days of Haggai had returned from Persian captivity with Ezra to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. But something happened. See, after their return, they built their own houses. They fixed up their own stuff, what they were living in, and then they just kind of sat back and settled in. Now, during this time, Haggai and Zechariah both prophesied to them, according to the book of Ezra as well. And they are prophesying to them because they built their houses, but what they came back to do to build the temple of God, they have not done. Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, this is what is said. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, and that being the house of God, lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, God asked the people why they have taken care of their houses and what they want while His house is desolate. He tells them to consider their ways. That is God's call to introspection. That is God's call to them to examine and to look at their lives, to look at their motives, to look at their actions, to look at their priorities, to look at their hearts and their minds, and to understand and to see what is missing and what needs to change. You know, this morning, let's do the same thing. Let's consider our ways. Let's spend some time focusing on what we have and are doing. Let's see if there are some aspects of our lives that need to change in order for us to grow closer to God and closer to His will. Now, we're going to ask some questions, and I don't know the answer for these questions for you. I can't tell you what they are. This is for each of us. I have to ask myself these questions. I engage in introspection. I look at my life, and I often walk away finding that I have a lot to do. I walk away finding that I have failed myself. I have failed God. I've failed my family at times. I've failed you at times. And I ask for forgiveness for those things, and I try to do better. And that's the purpose. It's not so I can ignore it. It's so that I can see it and do better. Over the next few minutes, let's ask ourselves some questions about the past year. Tonight, we're going to talk about the year to come. We're going to talk about living purposefully in the year to come. But first, let's review 2014. This year, I guess one question we have to ask is, did we study our Bibles this year with consistency that enabled us to have a deeper understanding of God? To have a deeper understanding of our Christianity and how we are to live for God. When you think about what you know today, is it more than you knew about God and about how you ought to live as a Christian? Is it more now? Is it deeper than it was on January 1st of this year? Faith is grown by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is strengthened through deeper understanding of the truths found in the Bible. And strong faith is what enables us to make the difficult decisions that sometimes we have to make. This morning in Bible class, we studied about Daniel and how he resolved not to eat the king's food. And see, that resolve there came from deep faith. That he pulled all of that together and said, I'm going to stand somewhere. But you're not going to stand like Daniel stood unless you have a deep faith to push that. To be behind such a stand, such a conviction. You know, we are strengthened in our faith and make those decisions because as we study God's Word, we see that God's way is best. It always has been. We speak about doctrine. Let's define our terms. Sometimes we throw words around and we don't define them. Doctrine is simply another word for teaching. It, in fact, appears both ways in your Bibles. And if something is a teaching about what we are to do or not to do or be in the New Testament, then that doctrine is something that we need to listen to. That teaching is something we need to adhere ourselves to. 2 John verse 9, John says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching or doctrine of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Well, as we think about how much have we studied and how much have we grown, do we have a deeper understanding of the Scriptures? Let's hit on just a few questions in regard to that. Let's consider some specific teachings of Christ found in the New Testament. Ask yourself if you have a better understanding of them, a deeper understanding of these things now than you did at the beginning of this year through your study. What about the doctrine or the teaching of a cappella singing in the worship service? I know people go, oh, preachers just harp on that. Well, it wouldn't harp on it if we didn't hear it all the time. You know, it is one of the simplest doctrines in the Bible. Yet, so many Christians do not understand the New Testament teaching of a cappella singing. They hold to what they want or something they heard from a preacher or read in a book other than the Bible. We need to understand right now, though, that there is no such thing as a doctrine of instrumental music. Not from the biblical perspective, because there is no teaching regarding it in the New Testament. So there's no biblical doctrine in regard to instrumental music at all. However, there is a clear doctrine of singing with the mouth and the heart, teaching that's set forth in Ephesians 5:19, Ecclesiastes, that's not even New Testament. I need to study more, don't I? I'll put that one on my list for 2015. Colossians 3:16 and Hebrews 13:15. You know, ignoring or violating this doctrine is in opposition to Jesus Christ. It's what John said about going too far and not abiding in what Jesus has said and what the New Testament has said. And if we do that in anything, then John says that we do not abide in Him. What about the teachings regarding morality? Regardless of what our culture may say, things like homosexuality, premarital sex, immodesty, lust, adultery, unchaste handling of males and females, and many others are wrong. They're immoral, according to the Scriptures. And with the daily bombardment of these things in our world, have you studied to be able to withstand that daily bombardment? In fact, to be able to resist the bombardment that comes from culture and our society today in regard to these things, because these things are on every station, every commercial nearly, and every news report. These things come out. Are we ready to make the stand? Are we capable through our study? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20 extensively teaches that we must keep our bodies from such uses if we are to be a part, if we are to inherit the kingdom of God. Because our body is given for God, not for those things that would be immoral. What about the teaching regarding the one church of our Lord Jesus Christ? According to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus built one church, and that's His. And it doesn't really, at the end of the day, what's on a sign out in front of a church building doesn't matter. Only one thing matters is what do we teach, what do we believe, is it what is found in the Bible and God's Word. That's all that matters at the end of the day. That makes it His church, His teachings, the one that He built. And we need to make sure that we are that. The church is to be of one mind and based in one judgment, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Those are just two texts that clearly teach the singular nature of the church in creation and in teaching. Have you grown in your understanding about the unique church so that you can battle the prevailing false belief out there, not only out there, but also within our own fellowship, that there are more than any church will do? Than any place that says it's a church or says that they believe in Jesus Christ, that they're okay. We need to make sure we study our Bibles to understand that the way God teaches it, not the way men may want us to believe or men may tell us. And that's just three biblical teachings, and by no means a complete list, but these are three that I've talked to other preachers and read things that have been written, and those are things that are coming up a lot. So those are things we need to be sure we understand. And there's a lot of others that we could list this morning. Time will not allow. But it would behoove every Christian to know and continue to grow in the biblical teaching. Now, through Haggai, God tells the Jews as well that they were displeasing to Him because they took care of themselves but neglected Him by not building His house. Now, today, we do not have a physical temple like they had in Jerusalem, like the temple there built in Jerusalem or even the tabernacle before that. We do not have such a building today, physical building. But the Lord's church today is God's spiritual temple. It is His tabernacle. It is the place in which He dwells. And so the question for us today, based on that, is in the last year, have you taken care of the building or the house of God? Or have you been more engaged in building your own house? Because see, God sees and He assesses. And it's easy for me to look at my life and see where I come up short in this place. There are times when I give myself to my wants and my desires and my physical things before I give it to God. And that's wrong. And I have to change that. But we have to be honest with ourselves. Have we been more about our physical house or our spiritual house? About God's spiritual house. The Jews needed to pick up building tools and materials and get to work on God's house. And today we need to open up our Bibles and strengthen the Lord's church through hard work and fulfilling the Great Commission. And I mean both aspects of that Great Commission. Not only to go make disciples in Matthew chapter 28 of all nations, baptizing them, but also teaching them to observe all things. That's what we do in here. That's edification. Both parts of the commission. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22, the Apostle Paul says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." The church is built together with each of us as fellow citizens and saints. The building is upon the foundation of God's Word from Christ, the prophets, and the apostles. And Peter says that we are living stones that comprise that temple. And Paul says here that we are fitted closely together, because being fitted closely together, tightly together, we are stronger. The closer we are as the Lord's church, the stronger we are as the Lord's people. You know, with that, have you been engaged in the building of God's temple? Let's think about some things in respect to that. Have you worked hard to bring more materials, more living stones for the continued building of God's temple? In the past year, how many people have you invited to church? In the past year, how many people have you discussed the Bible with? I know a good number of you have. Some of you have even called and asked me questions about what your discussions you were having, and God bless you for that. Keep it up. How many times did you tell a non-Christian about how much God and Jesus Christ has done for you so that maybe they can see what they're missing? Have you worked hard in this past year to help the living stones of God's temple be fitted tightly together? What have you done to make this congregation stronger in the Lord? See, we each have a part. Paul talks about us being like a body, and there's different parts of the body, right? No one part's more important than another part. Every part serves its particular function. But what have you done to make the body better? Have you been an encouragement to the members of this congregation? Have you worked hard to make stronger relationships with those people that you have struggled with in the past? You know, somebody you were struggling back on January the 1st, you had some kind of personal issue with them. Maybe you just had a personality clash with them. Have you worked hard this year to overcome that? Because let me tell you, you may spend eternity in heaven with them. You might want to work that out. And if you don't want to work it out, you might not spend eternity in heaven with them. It's just that clear, plain. Do you love them? Fix it. Has your relationship with any member of this congregation turned negative in this past year? Maybe it's fine on January 1st, but maybe today you got a little bit of a problem. You're upset at them for some reason. You just can't seem to work past it. You can't seem to get over it. Are you working on repairing it? Or are you just sitting and stewing in it? Need to fix it. Need to go and make it right. Try your best to mend the relationship with your brother. God, your Father, wants that. Have you tried to help brethren overcome weaknesses and sins in their lives? You know, such problems in people's lives create weak stones, and weak stones make a weak building. So helping members overcome these problems strengthens them and the church as a whole. Galatians chapter 6 makes it clear that we need to be looking at each other's burdens, because it might be me next time that needs the help, right? I need to set the example that I want to help you. And therefore, when I need help, you'll want to help me too, because you'll have seen the example of a person that helps. We need to be careful that we do not just turn our eyes away from such things. Have you been a worker this year in the kingdom? You know, Haggai also states that the Jews were wasting time on their own possessions in place of God. Likewise, they were never satisfied, because God provides fulfillment. Physical things do not. Jesus said, "Do not lay up treasures for yourself here on earth, where rust and moth corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven," where that doesn't happen. That's fulfillment. It stays. It doesn't go away. That we do put those things in the right place. God said that these people in Haggai were putting their money and purses with holes. Now, I've had a hole in my pocket from time to time, haven't y'all? Ever put a quarter in your pocket and it come out in your shoe? It happens, right? Well, you don't go sticking more in there, right? Well, let me get that quarter out. Put it back in, back down in your shoe. You just, you know. But that's what they were doing. They were throwing money after money after all of these things. But at the end of the day, it wasn't giving them anything. It was just falling away like physical things do. And they were not accomplishing anything. And God tells them to consider their ways. So for us, as we think about that, have we been more concerned this year with our physical possessions than with our spiritual lives? There are a few questions we can ask to follow up on that one. How much money have you spent on your hobbies? No, I'm not about to get on giving at church. That's not what this question is going to lead to. So don't turn me off. How much money have you spent on your hobbies? How much money have you spent this year on materials to help you understand God's Word better? To study it better? To go to lectureships, to go to workshops that can help you be a stronger Christian? How do those two things compare? Because it will show you a little bit about what's important and what your priorities may be. Was your giving to God this year sacrificial? In general, I'm not talking about just what you put in the plate, but everything. Was your giving to God sacrificial, that you literally had to give up things, that you literally had to sacrifice in order to give what you gave to God, or was it just what was left over when you got everything you wanted? I think God deserves sacrifice. Was your primary focus on worldly or godly things this past year? And I think one that will almost sum it up and will almost fit this every time is, how often did you pray? Let me tell you what, when you're focused on the spiritual, prayer is going to be at the forefront of your life. You're going to every day look to God to help you because you know you need it. Well, that's 2014. That's not all the questions we could ask. That's all the questions we're going to ask. You know, after answering those questions, are there some things in your life that you see you need to do in response as you enter 2015? Tonight, we'll consider living with purpose in 2015. We'll try to take those things and put them into a purpose. But we need to consider our ways this morning. Consider how you've lived this year. Maybe you've been living the same way for more than 1 year. But consider how you've lived this year and see how and what you need to do to move closer to God. This morning, we want to help you with that. Do you understand this morning that what you need to do, what you haven't done in this past year, is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you understand what that is. You understand what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean just acknowledging Him, but that means believing what He says. Believing that He knows best and you're willing to let your life be guided by Him. That you understand what it means to repent. And that as you understand that Jesus Christ knows the best way, you're willing to turn and go His way. Turn from your way and go His way. That's repentance. That you confess, that you understand that you need to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God today. To proclaim Him as Lord and Christ of your life. For all men to see. Not just once, but in your life as you shine your light. As you are salt. We hope and pray that you will do that. And that you will be baptized. That you will be buried in that watery grave. Having your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, to rise. To walk a new life. To be, as Paul told the Corinthians, a new creature. A child of God. One that walks a new life in Christ. Ever looking at His life, ever seeking to consider His ways and live by God's ways. If you're a person that understands you need to do that this morning, we hope and pray that you'll do it. Don't wait till 2015. 2014 is a good time to become a child of God. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you realize that maybe, like the Jews in Haggai's days, maybe you've let your priorities get a little askew. Maybe you've forgotten about the house of God. Maybe you've let physical things become a little too important in your life. Consider your ways this morning, and if they need changing, change them. Repent of them. Confess them before God. Know that He's faithful and just to forgive you. If we can help you, we can encourage you in these spiritual things. If we can pray for you, then we want to do that. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?